Daniel chapter 3, please. We're going to look at an event in the life of Daniel's three friends. Who can tell me the names of Daniel's three friends? One of them. The Jewish names. We don't want to give them the wealthy names. Okay, that's good. And what were their Babylonian names? And Abednego. Ben-nigo or Bednego? I don't know.
Abednego.
Okay, Abednego. Let's get into this. In Daniel chapter 3, in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the instruments and everything and the music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Let's just pray. Father, we do commit our time around your word, and we pray that you would minister to our hearts now, that you would take your word, Father, and that you would apply it to each heart personally, and that your spirit would be with us, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So we know the story. And what we see in the life of these, of what happened in Babylon was a time where Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold. And it was a decree that was given throughout all his provinces, throughout all the land, of every language, of everyone, that they would, at the time of the music, that everybody would come bow down before this image. And what we see is that there was a punishment. There was actually a punishment decreed if somebody does not bow down. What was the punishment? Michael? The fiery furnace, yes, very good. And so what we're going to see is this, we're going to see the part of what occurred in verse 8. "Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of all the instruments shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down," in verse 11, "and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." There are certain Jews, in verse 12, this is where we see the issue. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Here we see an event that took place in the life of these young men. And what, like Daniel of old, these young men made a stand. And they said they would have known the scriptures, and they would have said that we want to honor God with our lives, and we want to make sure that the Bible teaches, the scriptures teach, that we ought not to worship any images or anyone other than the God of heaven. And so they had an issue on their hands. And what it is that the world at this time was telling them to do something, and they needed to make a decision. And the decision that they made was to honor God. And what they did is that they, at this time, everybody was doing what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do. He called his rulers, he called all the leaders of all the provinces, and he says, this is what's going to happen, and whoever's not going to do it is going to get punished for it. And I want to ask you a question, to whom is your loyalty? To whom is your loyalty? And I want to take us back to that time and that moment, and I want you to be in that situation. Place yourself in that situation. What would you have done? Like Daniel, the same thing, he purposed within his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And now these men were making a decision not to worship any other god other than the God of heaven. And so it was an element of trust here. And what it is we need to just ask the question, to whom is our loyalty? And what we've been hearing about the flesh and the spirit, if our loyalty is to the world, we are governed by the flesh. If our loyalty is to God, we are governed by the Spirit. And we need to be mindful of that. And if you look at your life, and I look at my life, and I say, what is the theme in my thinking? What is the theme in my actions, in my conversation? What is it all about? And if it's not Christ, if it's not God, then what it is, it's obviously the world, and what it is, it's that's driven by your flesh. And we need to be mindful, and we need to be asked the question, where does our loyalty lie? To whom is our loyalty? And we're going to see from these young men that their loyalty was not the world, they were not powered and governed by the flesh, but what it is that their loyalty was to God and God alone. And we're going to see here, In verse 13, Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear, and goes on and he talks about it, halfway through that verse, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fire furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Nebuchadnezzar said this, if you do not bow down, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you do not bow down and worship this image, he goes and he throws a comment and he said, who is this God that will deliver you from my hands? He had some boldness to say that. And obviously he did not say that he did not know the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I tell you one thing? That the world is never loyal. And here we see there in chapter 2, let's go to chapter 2, verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And look at this in verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. You know what? These three men and Daniel was the head of all the provinces, but Daniel requested of the king that they would give these three men position. They had authority. And what it was is that they have authority given by a worldly king. And let me tell you that this king was not loyal. It doesn't really matter who Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego were. It doesn't matter who Daniel was, or what great things that these men have done before them. Nebuchadnezzar was not loyal to them. He didn't say, oh, they've done much. It was at the end of chapter 2, if you look at that, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And none of the wise men or astrologers could even interpret the dream. The actual dream was he forgot the dream. Nebuchadnezzar woke up and he had a dream and he forgot the dream. And Daniel was able to interpret the dream. And when Nebuchadnezzar realized, he was so happy and he promoted Daniel and these three men. But what we see is that there was no loyalty. It doesn't matter if you think, if your friendships, your relationships, if all of this is surrounded by the world, let me tell you that there is no loyalty there. And you may have friends that are really close and better than Christians at times. And what I'm just saying is this, we need to be careful. We need to be very careful not to put all our trust and our effort into the things of this world, because you know what? The things of this world will let you down. What did we hear about yesterday? Who will never let us down? God. So to whom should our loyalty be? God. And you know what's really interesting about this? I really love the book of Daniel, because Daniel was not alone. He had his God, but he had his three dear friends with him. And let's go to chapter 2 and see this. When Daniel requested of Nebuchadnezzar, before you kill all the astrologers and the wise men and us, give me some moment. Give me some time. Give me some time and I will come back and I will tell you and interpret the dream. What does Daniel do? Go to chapter 2. In verse 15. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know what he did? He said, King, give me some time. And what he did is that he went to his godly friends, these three men, and he said that we would desire the mercies of God, that we would come before the throne of God and request that God would give us this dream and the interpretation of the dream so that we can be delivered. You know what? Daniel had some godly friends there in Babylon. And what we need as young people to overcome the world, yes, we need the Spirit of God first and foremost, but what we need is a group of godly friends that would influence us and that would encourage us to get through some of the major trials within our lives. You know, young people, we need to really choose our friends wisely. And think about it. Look at your friends and ask the question, to whom is their loyalty? To whom are my friends loyal to? Are they loyal to God or are they loyal to the world? And we need to ask the hard questions, and it's so important because at this age, we are very influential. Even adults are. You know, I need to be careful that I don't read or listen to some pastors who are actually going down a certain way. Why? Because I'll be influenced. And evil communication corrupts good manners. Adults are influenced, and so are you. And it's so important that we choose our friends wisely. And praise be to God that Daniel was not alone. He had friends that he could gather with and say, we know there's an issue here. We need to pray about it. We need to seek God about it. And we need to get through it. And they did. And they were friends of like mind. You will attract the friends that are like you. So you attract the people that are like you. So if you are carnal, if you are worldly, you will attract those people. And you, as young people, you need to make the decision that who do I want to be? Do I want to be a person who is loyal to God, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, or am I going to yield to the flesh and be loyal to the world? And once you've made that decision, look around and choose your friends wisely. You know, the best people to ask about your friends are your parents. You know, you might say, oh, I can't ask my parents about my friends. Of course you can. And it will probably be the greatest decision that you make that will get you through your teenage years. Ask your parents, what do you think of so-and-so? Or don't even show what do you think. Just say, Mom, Dad, should I be hanging out? Should I be spending time with so-and-so? And on your social media account, you need to be careful on who you befriend. And you need to ask your parents. And maybe some of you just need to show your parents your social media account and see if they approve of it. How about that? To whom is your loyalty, young person? And you know, these three men and Daniel, they were loyal. They were loyal to their God. Daniel chapter 3, please. Let us see these young men and the courage that they had because, not because they were anything in and of themselves, but because they trusted in the God. They trusted in the great God that they knew could deliver them. And even though He didn't deliver them, they were happy just to honor Him. Watch this. In verse 14, in verse 15, it says this, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Bold. He was just a proud man that thought he was God, and God really humbled him. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Courage. You know what it is? They said, God is able to deliver us, and even if He does not deliver us, we will not bow down to your and worship that image. You know what it was saying? It was saying that I am not going to be a part of your worldly kind of worship. I'm not going to be a part of your desires and the way that you want to mold me. I would rather die than worship your golden image. And you know, that's a bit intense. Don't you think? That's a little bit intense. But to whom does your loyalty lie? You know, Christ said that if you'll be my disciple, you need to carry your cross. Carry your cross daily. And if those ones that were not willing to follow Him carry the cross, did you know what would happen? You're not able to be my disciple. And what it meant is when you carry your cross, what Christ was saying is that you're carrying that cross, you're going to be crucified upon that cross. What it is that you're going to take that cross and you're going to die to everything that you are. Die to self, die to your ambitions, your desires, and say, Christ, I'm dying to this, to my life, and that as I die, this life is no longer mine. I'm dead. It is yours. And what it is this, and it's a bit intense that these three men would say would rather die, but what it is it's truth of God's word. And what it is that these men were just loyal completely and wholly to God. That's what it is. And would rather go and die instead of worship your idol. And can we say that? I'd rather die than worship any of the world's idols. You know, it's a bit intense. And I can't even put this message across because I can't even fathom it. And you know, you hear of people who have been martyred for the faith. You hear of them, and you think, you renounce your Christianity or die. Intense, isn't it? And many of us, or probably none of us in this lifetime, would actually get to that point. But you know what it is? It just shows to whom your loyalty is. You know, there was an underground prayer meeting in Russia, and I heard this story, and some of you probably would have heard it too. And these two men came in with bandanas, with shotguns. And they said, whoever is a Christian, stay here. If you're not a Christian, go out. Run. Your life will be spared. And you saw many of the people get up and run. And a few Christians just stayed back. And these men took off their bandanas and they just said, we just want to join a congregation that we know that people are genuinely Christians. And I wonder, it's a funny story, right? But I wonder how many of us would get up and run. How many of us? And what it is none of us can do it in the flesh, yes, of course. But if our loyalty lies with God, And we are empowered by His Spirit, we're yielding to His Spirit day by day, and we make it a goal within our lives that, God, I'm going to be loyal to You. I can't do it in the flesh. I'm going to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, but my loyalty lies to You every single day. Then that is the progression to a fulfilled spiritual life, a fulfilled Christian life. But brethren, we just need to truly ask the question, to whom is our loyalty? And here we see these young men made a stand and said, I will not worship your God. And let me tell you what happens. And most of you know the story. We'll go on. And in verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it would want to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, the hosen and their hats, and he actually bound them with all their garments so that they could burn quicker. And in verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here we see that because the commandment was so quick, and the Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he said, heat up that furnace. Heat up that furnace. Make sure it's very, very hot. I want to cast these men in, and so that they could just die. And what it was really sad, and I was reading this and it really struck me. In verse 22, it says that the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know who he is. You know what's really sad? Where's the loyalty? Where's the loyalty? You know, Nebuchadnezzar gives a command and these men that are serving Nebuchadnezzar, he says, light up the furnace, and he couldn't care less about anybody else except for himself. And the men that were serving Nebuchadnezzar actually were burnt by the flame. Loyalty. That's heaps of loyalty. And you know what? Allow me to use that application just to tell you that you are going to be burnt. If you're constantly yielding to your flesh, and you're going the way of the world, and your loyalty lies there and then, you will be burnt. And you know, testimony after testimony of a young person after young person could just testify that they have been burnt time and time again by the world. Why? Because they're following their own desires, they're following their own lusts, their own ambitions, thinking that there's happiness in this. You know, before I became a Christian, at the age of 22, I've tried every single thing in this world that would try to fulfill my heart. You know what I had? I had just this emptiness within me. And as the Bible teaches that sin is pleasurable for a season, it is. And the devil is deceptive to the core. And what he does is this. Sin is pleasurable and your flesh just desires it and it finds happiness in it for a moment, until you get over it. And what happens? You move on to the next thing. Get over that. Move on to the next thing. And tell you, you just get sin after sin after sin, and what you're left with is the scars of the world. You know, people who go and get tattoos, they're left with that. And what it is, it's like that. It's like every time you're involved in something, you're gonna leave a tattoo. It's going to be a scar. That some scars, some tattoos you can't remove. Some scars you're not going to be able to remove. And that's what the world has to offer you. The world has to offer you scars, and that's all. And what it is, young people, is there is an element of this world that God has left us to enjoy. When we talk about the world, I'm talking about the sin of this world, the dirt of this world, the filth of this world. And what we need to do is be careful. Because the loyalty is never there. And you know, you'll meet people who would say they're loyal. And you know what? They'll seem like better friends than the friends at church. They say, you can tell me everything and we'll be friends for life, pinky promise and all the rest of it. And they'll even buy you a chain with two hearts. I'll wear one heart, you wear the other. And we're friends for life. Unsaved? What are you doing? You're communing with the world. And you will not influence them. There will be a point where you would have to say, it's enough. You know, when I got saved, at the age of 22, I thought I had really good friends. I've been friends with like one of them ever since primary school, kindergarten. And another friend, I was with a friend with him for ever since there were a group of them. We all started year 5 together. Grade 5. I got saved, and they didn't really want much to do with me. And they were trying to make an effort, yeah, and I was trying to make an effort, but there was a point where I just had to really separate because they weren't hearing the gospel. They didn't want anything to do with Christ. And you know what? Do I ever hear from them? Maybe one just messages me every couple of years, hey, how you doing? But that's about it. I've made effort to contact a few of them when God has laid them upon my heart, but do you think they want much to do with me? No. And this is the thing. You think you have friends, you think they're loyal, you think everything. But you need to be very careful. And as Daniel, and no doubt there were many people in Babylon that Daniel could have befriended. But these men that God, that Daniel befriended, were the men that God put in Daniel's life. And if you are lacking friends, let me tell you, if you are lacking friends, godly friends, you need to pray. Pray to God, God, give me a godly friend that can sharpen me. Give me a godly friend that can pull me up and keep me accountable. Give me a godly friend. You know what? Every time I've prayed that, I've received a godly friend that has been, that God has used specifically to sharpen me in an area of my life. And it's been so encouraging. I challenge you to pray that prayer. And pray the prayer that, Lord, make me that godly friend. Make me a godly friend. It's two ways. And I just think about if we all make that decision at camp and we just wanted to sharpen one another in the faith and our focus is a spirit-filled life, yielding to the Spirit and pleasing God, how much can God use us? How much will God use us? And here we see that there was no loyalty. Nebuchadnezzar did not care. He was not interested in who would light that furnace and who would die. He did not care if the three men were the head, were rulers of the province. He did not care. To whom is your loyalty? To whom is your loyalty? Let's see there in verse 22. In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was stoned, he was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar looked, he saw not only three men, but four, and he said that the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And this was just a miracle of God, and God delivered these men, and he says in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come hither. Then they came out, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor their smell of fire had passed on them. There was no scent. There was no burning. There was nothing. This is a miracle of God. And you know, who was it? I'll ask you a question. Who was it that this miracle was performed before? Who saw? Yes, and who else? Sorry? It was everyone. Look at that in verse. It was all the rulers of that town, all the rulers. In verse 27, the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. You know what it is? It's here we see a testimony of these men. You know, ones that stood firm for God. Ones who said that I'm not going to be loyal to the world. I'm not going to yield to my flesh. But what I'm going to do is going to be loyal to God. And no matter what happens, whether or not I lose my life, whether or not, it doesn't matter what happens, I will not worship any other God but the God of heaven. And they had a great desire to do that. And everybody knew about it. The decree was so hasty, and the furnace was pulled up, heated, and all the rulers were there. And what happened was that these men were delivered. God never let them down. And as we heard yesterday, God will never let us down. But what it was a testimony of who God was. And I wonder if all of a sudden these three men, when the decree was given, that they got down on their knees and they worshipped that golden image, what would have happened? Nothing. They would have gone with the crowd, been lost with the group. Nothing would have happened for God. Nobody would have known that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God is a God of heaven who is able to deliver them. But now, they know. They know about their God. And they need to do something about it. And you know what it is? If we as God's people do not live for God and our loyalty is for God, who? What about those friends? How are they going to ever know about Christ? How are they going to know that my friends at school? How are my neighbors? How is it those people that I friend on social media, how are they ever going to know about Christ? If I look like them, I act like them, I talk like them, they don't even know I'm a Christian. Oh, sometimes they know a Christian because I post an image saying, oh, I'm going to church. But yeah, that's all they know about me. I just go to church. Our lives ought to be a rebuke to the unsaved. It ought to be a testimony of God and all that He is. And young person, the way that we can do this, our loyalty is with God, and that we are yielding to His Spirit day by day, that's the only way that we're going to do that. But we need to make that decision. To whom is your loyalty? To whom is your loyalty? And as we've seen, that God will never ever let us down. You know, the Bible, the book in Hebrews, it says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, what a promise, a precious promise from our God. You know what He says also? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, we look for friends that would, or people that would try to take our burden. You know, we can go to the one who says, come unto me. Come unto me. If you have a burden that's heavy, you can always go to Him. And you think about it, why is our loyalty to the world and to our flesh? And it's not to God who is able to carry all our burdens, who will meet all our needs, who would see us through every single trial. And the truth is, it's because what we've been learning about this week. You know, it's constant, that battle between the flesh and the spirit. But where is our loyalty? Where is our loyalty? I want to encourage you, young person, just in the quietness of your heart, today, just say, Lord, I just want to be loyal to You. And no matter what the cost, no matter what happens, by Your grace and by Your power, I just want to be loyal to You. Will you pray that prayer? Would you actually just in the quietness of your heart make that decision? You know, as we spoke about yesterday, I'll finish with this. It's not our environment. It's not our situation. It's not our circumstances that should determine whether we are faithful to God or not, whether we're trusting God or not. But it just comes down to the decision that we make and who will we be loyal to. And it doesn't matter how old you are, as a child of God, we all need to make that decision. And what it is, it's a daily decision. It's not like I make that decision today and that's it. It's every single day I'm making that decision. Today, Lord, I'm going to be loyal to you. Let's pray.